Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. We thank you for coming. Praise the Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, thank you for showing up at church.
Amen.
We are so grateful for all the things the Lord's done this year and the people he has touched and the ones he's saved and the ones he's healed. And he's done so many wonderful things. Wow.
I have a great praise report here.
Cheryl has a good praise report here she wants to share with you. So
a young man wrote us on December the 5th. He said, "Hello, I'm requesting prayer for myself. I'm 35, and I'm currently going through kidney failure. On November the 7th, I was hospitalized due to kidney failure and got out a few days ago. And when I lived in Texas, I would visit the church during the healing school, so I know the power of prayer and believe my kidneys will start working again and without the need for a transplant. My name is Nick. You can reach me here. I'm currently going through dialysis to help the remaining kidney function. Thank you for your ministry and your prayer." So we wrote him, we told him what the kidney failure is, a spirit of self-rejection, envy, bitterness, fear, control spirits. And we said, "We prayed for you and remitted your sins, and it is done. Walk holy before God and make sure that you love yourself. Here's a link to listen to about love yourself. God commands it. Praise the Lord." Okay, then he wrote back the next day, December the 6th. "Praise the Lord indeed. This morning after I read your email, I accepted and believed it. Well, later this morning, I went to my urologist and they removed my urinary catheter, saying I'm able to go to the restroom normally. Praise God for showing himself. I'm standing on his word and in faith that my kidneys will return to normal and my lab work will reveal God's work. I'm asking God for guidance on if I should stop taking my medication because I feel better and believe I'm healed. On another note, which teachings do you recommend from your catalog? I believe God's using this to teach me to rely on him, to share to others of his power. I look forward to telling you the doctors have told me I'm completely healed. Praise to God, and thank you, Pastor Thurman, for teaching how good his word truly is." Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, we had our Monday night, we had our 16th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit, and it was really great. So far, I want to tell you, we've raised $128,086. We've given Christmas to 7,412 children, teen moms, elderly and homeless, and 447 families. Okay, this is a thank you picture that they sent to us. Of course, that's the cake. We have a fight every year about who's going to get that silver box. Okay. Oh, it's lovely. That's Chad and Debbie, Mike and Lynn. And look at all our lovely staff lined up there except for Kathy. Okay, that's all the Smiths. And it's all our guys that work for us, Dave, Ben, Baron, Dave. This is Ted Greeter and Christy and I, my daughter, who called me at 3 o'clock this morning. Yes, we love our children. Okay, this is all the ministry kids, the Smiths, the Rosenfels again. This Jackie and Christina. This is the staff from Christ Haven. Is Dwight on the right, and then their staff, and then, of course, the presents. And these are houses, okay? So each one is a house parent with all the kids that stay in that house. They have usually from 6 to 8 kids in each house. Go ahead. Oh, that must be a funny picture. Okay. Yeah, a lot of funny pictures. Oh, and these note these two boys, Marcus in the straight back and Natty, and he's a Muslim. And Spurious used to be a Muslim that has the glasses. He's no longer a Muslim. These two boys in the middle are new, and they weren't very happy. They didn't smile at all for a while. For a while. Okay, then they changed. And these twin boys, Darnell and Deshaun, they were new. Okay, and the little girl in the middle, Lana, can we go to the video? Is it our wait? You want me to wait? No, I can wait. I can wait. Just keep going. Oh, I'm making him work. Okay, Lana, for some reason, when she got her big gift in the beginning, I don't know why she didn't open it. Well, here she gave it to her mom. Well, here she is. When she got home, it was a scholarship for gymnastics, and she started crying and fell on the floor, and they...
What is it, baby?
Yeah.
Portable weapons.
Lana's 12 years old, and the reason she got that was because Candace Campbell, it's because your email, sorry. Anyway, Candace went, she called ASI, or was it U.S. Gold? U.S. Gold Gymnastics, and asked them to sponsor a foster child, and they did. But for whatever reason, she didn't open it at that moment, and then when she got home, she did open it and just burst into tears, and they just wanted to see how much they appreciate it. Now, this is a brand new home. This is they had four, they lost two. That's Lindsay on the left and Delana on the right. And Delana was also not a very happy girl in the beginning. She's 11, and it took her a while to change too. Okay, here's another house. And of course he made us all cry like he does every year. When he starts praying, he starts crying, and we all start crying with him. So we just know it's going to happen. And we had Baron was our official cake cutter, and he did great. We didn't run out of cake. And of course, there's all the staff serving. And this is the Grapevine High School Lady Mustangs basketball team. They showed up. They gave about $700 worth of gifts, which was great, and some cash. And of course, Grayson and Mike, I want to say thank you to them, because every year they buy all the electronics for all the kids, which is several thousand dollars, which is a praise the Lord. And then this is Cheryl and Mark Bird. They played the music at our wedding. They're friends from a long time. And this is Dwight. We're giving him what did we have? We had some Fort Worth Zoo, and we had something else. I can't remember what it was. Was it Mesquite Rodeo? It wasn't. And then we also gave him the 75 Six Flags tickets. He said, pardon me? Oh, yes, of course it brought a big cheer. That's all. They only get to do what is given to them, and they can't take all these kids en masse. Like, for them to go out to dinner is a really big deal, because actually they don't have the funds for it. And so even extracurricular things we did in the beginning in September, they called me about some extracurricular, like taking cheerleading classes or whatever. So I had some Christmas money at the time, and I just sent them $4,500. And so they put that in a special fund. So when they do have kids that want to do something special, they can get that money. And Dwight said he's only going to be there two more years. He's got his twin granddaughters will be three in 2 years. And he said, I am tired. He said, I want to be able to enjoy the time with my grandchildren and not have to be on call every day 24/7. And I said, I understand. Okay, so Santa Claus came. So this is the first one, Alex. So we present them first with their first big gift. Okay, and then that's Angel and Legend. Yeah. Okay, she's one of the teen moms. Actually, I think she's the only teen mom at this point. Anna, that's Antonio. Okay, this is Austin. It was his first year, and he wasn't real happy in the beginning, but he got there. Everybody does. That is Caden. Caden, yeah. This is Cameron, and Christian's got the other blue plaid. Mm-hmm. That's Catalina. That's Caitlin. She's been there a long time. She's 16 now. This is Charlie. This is Lana's brother, Chase. This is Chloe, and she's been there. Chloe's story is a little bit of a sad story. Chloe came when she was about, I'd say, three or four. She got adopted by someone, and then they had a baby, and they sent her back for whatever reason. So she's been back for many years now, and I think it's been a heartache for her. This is Christian. Oh, now, these are the twins. That's this is Darnell, and then the next one would be Deshaun. Okay, this is Delana that was not a happy girl, but she's smiling pretty. Mm-hmm. This is Deshaun. Okay, because we had it misspelled. That was what the deal was. Okay, and this is Emily. This is Farias. Farias, like I say, he used to be a Muslim. He's now a Christian. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is Fernando. Mm-hmm. This is Jennifer. She's 21, going to college. And they send them to, I don't know which college she's going to. I didn't ask that question while I was there. Some of the teens that weren't there, Milka is going to Abilene Christian. Sarah is going to Pepperdine in Malibu, California. They're going to be a doctor. And there's one other that wasn't there. But anyway, they send them to college even. Like Kiera, she went to, that's Kat. She went to dental school. This is Katie. Yeah, I gave her two presents she wasn't supposed to get. I should remember that. This is Lana, the one that cried. And that's her gift that she didn't open for whatever reason. So she got to cry later. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is Lindsay. She's new. Okay, this is Marcus. It was not happy. But he got happy. And this is Natty, who wasn't happy either. And he, like I say, he is a Muslim, which is fine. I mean, we're just telling you the story behind it. This is Ruth, and that's Robert Kirkert. Yeah, okay, so now you're seeing all kinds of Jenny and we fed them, and now we're passing out presents. All our little helpers are helping us. Oh, and that says save for Cheryl because I couldn't get my food eaten. I got to eat after it was over with. That was good. Yeah, we have another video of the chaos. Here you go. Look at this. So you've been there now. Well, anyway, it was such a blessing. It was great, as always, Janessa and Caitlin singing. Okay. And, of course, this always makes Thurman cry, too. To live 17 years ago. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Mike's shirt with gingerbreads on it. Okay. Okay, and this is Alejandro that trained our horses and Lenora. Of course, there's Papa T in the mist and a Yesha. Yes, your beautiful woman. Clifford and Candace. That's it. Okay, well, praise the Lord. So we had a great, thank you, 16th annual Christ Haven for Christmas benefit. We only have a little bit more. I need to get 135 blankets for Mo Powers for Precious Blood Ministry for the homeless people. I told you a couple weeks ago that Dallas police, I didn't know until last night, there is a Dallas ordinance that they made up that you cannot feed the homeless in Dallas. That is a fact. It's number 12595, if that helps you, or 2595. I was floored. There's these guys called Don't Comply, and they went down with their AR-15s and fed the homeless just this past week. I'm very proud of those guys. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And there's Mo right there. Praise the Lord. Yep. Yeah, he did. It was cold. This is Mo Powers. He has Precious Blood Ministries. And so he has a need for 135 more blankets. And he told me, he said, you know, I went to get a cup of coffee, and there's this woman laying there on the ground. And he said, I didn't know what a throw was because I'd given him some or something. And he said he went and got one, and he threw it on her. And he said, well, now I know what a throw is. I said, yeah, a throw blanket, that's right. But he needs, so they broke up these two camps in downtown Dallas, and all these people didn't have coats. Well, we bought him for them 112 coats, and we bought 377 gloves, a few blankets, scarves, hats. And it was also great, I don't know if I told you all this or not, when I was in Kohl's to buy the men's coats, I went over and they were Columbia coats and zero exposure coats. And when I went to get them, it was double rack, and I said, okay, Lord, how many am I supposed to get? And he said, all of them. So I started shoving down until I always get the double cart, and I'm shoving it down in there, and then I pile them high, and they're as high as my hand can hold them. So I got my hand on top of it, and I start walking off, and it's not very stable. And I said, okay, Lord, I need you to send me an angel. And about that time, it starts going to the side, you know, and I'm holding on to it. And there's this young man, 18, 19, I hollered at him. I said, sir, can you help me here? And he saw I'm struggling as all this is falling off, you know. So he came over and helped me get it over to customer service. But God was really good, and he's just every... So besides Mo, we also need 255 blankets for the elderly in the Denton Salvation Army. We also need money to feed some homeless at our daily bread that we did last year. It takes $3 to feed a person their Christmas dinner. So I'm looking at, I need approximately $5,000 to cover all of that. So if you're interested in giving on your check or on the giving envelope, just put Christmas and I'll know. Anyway, I want to thank everybody. Y'all are just the best. And we still have one set of tea towels, I believe, don't we, that says, yay that I walked in shadow. It's embroidered. It's a embroidered tea towel. It's on the end of the kitchen table. Just pay what you want to for it and stick it in the box. But I think that's all we have to sell. And so y'all bless my heart. You bless my spirit. I just go, wow, how can this be that every year it just grows and grows, and you just bless so many people and touch so many people's lives. You just don't even understand what you do, just like Mo's telling you. I mean, they fed thousands. They gave all these people to have a coat. I mean, I told him, I hate being cold, and I can't even think about being outside and not having a coat. I just can't think of that. And it's going to get to 22 this week, okay? So if you want to give, give. If you can't give, please give. And we love all of you. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all I can say. You know, you just don't realize how fortunate we are. I mean, we are so fortunate. You know, I mean, when Cheryl read that article to me about they'd made on some kind of a... or something in Dallas. At first it said a city has made a rule that you can't feed the homeless. And I thought, now who in the world would ever live in a city that would be that stupid? Yeah. You know, and then I found out it was Dallas. And I thought, holy cow, what is wrong with us? Yeah. You know, that you can't feed the homeless. And then to think that a group of men, these guys must have been Vietnam vets or something, I don't know. But they got their AR-15s and they come to Dallas and they said, we're going to distribute the food to these homeless people. And the police didn't give them no trouble. So thank God the police were smart. I just can't believe that people do this. You would never think that in America, the home of the free, land of the brave, you know, that we would ever even think about doing this. Because I guess the reason this happens, because the Lord was so clear in His Word that He wants you and me to produce fruit for His kingdom. And so there's going to be an enemy. Sometimes it seems like it's even within our own borders that's going to try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. In other words, in 1 Corinthians, as we've been talking about 1 Corinthians, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians and I want to look at some scripture. 1 Corinthians 3, let's go to verse 10 and see where we want to start there, somewhere along about verse 10 or 11. 1 Corinthians 3.
According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Okay, now right there Paul tells us that he's building on a foundation. And that foundation we know is Christ, and we're supposed to do something with it. as a master builder, you know, I mean, I think about building, and since I spent so much of my life building things, I love building things, seeing things come up, a building come out of the ground. I think about, I don't even know, well, Tim's 42 years old, and when he was 18 months old, so that's been a long time ago. My boss from Washington, D.C., called me. My office was here in Dallas, and he called me and said, Thurman, can you get enough stuff together and you meet me in D.C. tomorrow, and I want to take you to Cairo, Egypt. I said, what are we going to do? He said, you're going to build me a building. And I said, in Cairo, Egypt? He said, yes. And so I said, okay. So I told him, yeah, I can do that. I can go home, throw a suitcase full of stuff, and I meet you at the airport at a certain airplane at Washington, D.C., and we flew to Cairo, Egypt. When I got to Cairo, Egypt, my boss, the executive vice president of engineering, and a lady by the name of Miss Siham Rioff. Never forget that. So that's so... I normally am not very good at remembering people's names, but that's such a wild name, I've never forgotten it. We met there at the airport, and we walked through, and he and she were going to show me the grounds where we were going to build a building. And I was awestruck at what I saw, and we walked around, and I didn't say a thing. I just looked. I was so dumbfounded at what I was going to have to build on. And I thought to myself, Lord, I'm sure grateful that I have you as a master builder. And I know with you that you tell me that in this scripture of 1 Corinthians 3, down toward the end of this chapter, he clearly tells you and me that the world is ours. Everything is ours. Life and death is ours. You know, I thought, most people don't believe that. They read this and they don't see the scripture as God wrote it. But I thought, Lord, with you, I can build this building. So for 3 days, I walked around the area that they took me to and showed me what had been done. And when we got to the end of the day, my boss came to me and said, well, Thurman, the lady told me that you're not the man for the job. She didn't want you. Because then in 3 days, she didn't hear you say anything. You just looked. I told her, I know you for years, and said, you can bet your boots that if when I leave here, the only thing you have to do for this man is whatever he asks you to give him, you give him whatever he asks for, and I guarantee he will put your building up. He is a master builder. So anyway, whenever they left and we started on that building, I went in and told her what I wanted, how many laborers, how many engineers, how many whatever, everything I needed. And then I said, I'll get with the men and I'll build your building. And in 90 days, we put up a building that was beyond your wildest dreams. This woman, she followed me out to the airplane and she begged and pleaded, got down on her hands and knees in the aisle of that airplane and pleaded with me and promised me that she would give me an enormous amount of money if I would just stay and run this place for her for the next year. She says, I've never seen a human being that can build a building as fast as you built a building and everything worked perfect. She said, how do you do that? I said, ma'am, I am a Christian. I am not a Muslim. I am a born-again, spirit-filled son of the living God. And I said, his name is Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And everything I've done in this building is because I serve the living God. She was blown away. She never heard of such a thing. In fact, the convection, these big ovens that she had ordered from Sweden and didn't quite get enough. She didn't know how to figure things perfect. She didn't have an engineering team together. And so whenever they sent this proving ovens, the ones they sent worked great, but they didn't have enough room. Didn't have enough room to do as many rolls per day as they needed. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. It took me a year to get those others. I said, ma'am, that's no problem with the equipment you have here. I can design you a proving room as big as you want. She said, you can do that? I said, yes, ma'am. All I need is a man to take me to Cairo to certain facilities where I can find certain things, and then I'll buy everything I need that I don't have. And I said, I can put this together for you in a couple of days. And so anyway, when I did that, went down there and got all that stuff and come back, the thing you do every morning on a deal like this is, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm your son. You said in your word many places that I could come and ask you for anything and you would do it for me. So I want to thank you for giving me the knowledge and wisdom, because Christ in me, the hope of glory, is the most magnificent thing that there is. And I know with you and me, I can build this building, I can build this proving ovens, I can do everything I need to do, and I will blow their socks off and I'll give you the glory for everything that we've done. And we did it. And that woman was dumbfounded. And in fact, like I said, she tried everything. When I put this oven together and this proving room and converted a little walk-in freezer that they didn't need to this piece of equipment, and it worked beautiful and perfect, she said, I just don't understand how you do it. I said, ma'am, she told me several times, I've never seen a man on this earth that has the kind of knowledge that you have. I said, ma'am, I have the greater one living in me. But she didn't know the greater one. She didn't know who he was. So she didn't know how to tap into the things that belong to every son of God on this earth. Those things only belong to the children of God. You know, they're yours. And then God give us all this, and then he expects us to do something great for his kingdom. And all of you that had anything to do with these children, you are building your treasures in heaven. I guarantee you. I was sitting there thinking as Cheryl was talking and Dave was showing the videos, I'm thinking, you know, so many organizations we checked out this year to see how much does their CEOs get paid. And some of them don't get paid hardly anything. And some of the companies, some of the organizations, the people that work for them, they work as volunteers. And when we went down to Grace, there was only one woman out of all the 35 women that was down there, 35 men and women, that was working there, but there was only one of them that was a paid employee. The rest of them, it was, so I thought to myself, yeah, they were all volunteers. And I thought to myself, somebody says, the CEO, I wonder what the CEO of this organization gets paid. Well, the CEO of this organization pays the money out instead of taking it in. Really, literally, what I'm trying to tell you is the money that comes in, we spend more than 100%. And I'm telling you, I always put the first $5,000 in this deal every year. I'm the first contributor. And I've been given for 16 years $5,000 a year. And then during the course of that year, that money that I put in that thing as a minister of this gospel, that's usually never the finish. Cheryl always comes to me and says, well, I need another 100 here. I need another 200 here. She expects you to reach in your pocket and give her money to pay for these things. And guess what I do? I give it to her. So I'm on the negative side. You know, the CEO of this organization is on the negative side. He puts out more than it comes in. Now then, the thing about it is, we are supposed to be building our treasures in heaven, not on earth. Because, you know, I don't care who you are. Just like this week, somebody called me or whatever and told me that one of my good friends that spoke at this church, Howard Pittman, has been diagnosed with leukemia. And I thought to myself, he's got to be in his high 80s. I don't know how old he is, but he's got to be in his high 80s. And then somebody else contacted me this week and said, a Bible teacher that I've known and listened to for years, R.C. Sproul, 78. He went home to be with Jesus last week. So let me tell you what. You can say what you want to, but you better get ready. The day's coming. You're going to leave this earth, and you're going to go back to be with the Lord. And when we get there, these things that he commanded us to do is going to be something else when we think about how many of us didn't do anything for Jesus. It's going to be terrible. Let's read on down a little further here and go down to verse 11 and 12. Let's see what that says.
Verse 11.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Just start there on verse. Yeah.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Now, we do know that, do we not? There's only one foundation, and that foundation is not Allah. It's Jesus Christ and him, There's only one God. I don't care what anybody says. You notice that Cheryl said that there was a couple of Muslim children. Well, if the people of America don't learn how to pray, if you don't know the information I put in how to get a lost person saved, you need to get that book and you need to check out the scripture. You need to put all that information I put in that book and on those CDs and DVDs about how to get a lost person saved, and you need to start praying it over these people that are coming to America that we call Muslims. Because Dave Walken was sharing with me something he saw on a video about some guy, I think he was in America, but he was a Muslim. His wife did something he didn't like, and he was chasing her down and caught her in the front yard, and literally in the front yard, in the presence of the neighbors, cut her head off with a machete. That's Sharia law. Would you like to be a part of that?
No way.
No way. But let me tell you what, if we don't learn how to pray and we don't learn how to do things, you're going to see more of that kind of nonsense. That's just the way they live. And you're going to have to learn how to pray and get people born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, or you're going to have more and more of this crazy nonsense. When I think about yesterday or day before yesterday, I was watching TBN for a few minutes, and there was a man on there that was going through different cities and colleges and so forth and asking the young 20 to 30 year old people who Jesus was. And it's amazing the number of people that have no knowledge of who he is. No knowledge. Can you imagine? They don't know anything about Jesus. This, whose fault is that? It's ours. God has given us the privilege to bring these people into the kingdom. This is verse 12. Let's see what verse 12 says.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble.
Okay, next verse.
Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Okay, now right there, we see everything we do on this earth. If you're like I was for the first part of my life, I didn't know these things. Although I was a Christian, I went to church, I read the Bible, but I didn't believe that everything in the Bible. I'm kind of like these kids yesterday, these young people, these 20 to 30-year-olds, 35, whatever they were. When they asked, do you believe that Jonah and the whale was a real story? And they said, no. No, that could never have happened. I mean, isn't it amazing, you know, that people don't believe that the Bible stories of the Bible are true? I mean, I watched him there for at least, I know, 30 minutes talking to different people, and almost everybody that he talked to, almost every one of them did not believe the stories of the Bible. He come up on one little girl there, I don't know how old she was, but I'd say that 25, and when he walked up to her, he says, young lady, do you know who Jesus Christ is? She said, absolutely. I thought, whoa, this is going to be interesting. And he began to ask her about stories of the Bible. Absolutely, those things really happened. That's Jesus. He's in charge. That Bible, if it's written in that book, it's real. I thought, now, out of all them kids, out of all them young people, one, only one, all the rest. And he was talking fast, and he was interviewing people. I bet you he interviewed at least 20. And that one little girl was the only one that really had any clue who God really is, who Jesus is, and that the stories of the Bible are real. But this says here that every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. In other words, the day's coming, just like that scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Some of you were here when Howard Pittman was here. Some of you remember that Howard, being a retired Baptist, a retired police officer, I mean, he retired from the police department. He was working in the government, in the police department, and he retired after, I think, 25 years or something like that. And then he decided, you know, he'd get to be a minister. And so, you know, for the next 25 or 30 years, he was a minister, and he was a Baptist preacher. And he preached the Word of God as the Baptists do it. And then when he had this aneurysm in his body and he died, the first thing he did, he said, I remember laying there on that bed or whatever you call that thing, and in the ambulance as they're going to the hospital in Mississippi. And he said, I kept hearing that guy say, you know, I think we're losing him. And he said, I was in excruciating pain. Those of you that were here, you may remember him telling this story. I was in excruciating pain. And he said, then all of a sudden, the pain was gone. And I was standing up looking down. And there's my body. And the guy said, you know, he has no heartbeat or no pulse. I think we just lost him. But Howard's alive and well with no pain, standing there looking down at his own body. Do you know what's going to happen for every one of us? Are you ready? If you're not, you better get that way. And just throw this in, just there something. If you don't have at least a $10,000 life insurance policy, go out and get you one. Because when you die, somebody's going to have to bury you. Do you know that? So be ready. Be prepared. The days, just as you know, every man's works are going to be judged. What sort of work that you did. And Howard, now he was a Baptist preacher. And you got to remember what he said whenever he walked into the gate. He said, when I walked up to this gate, there was this huge voice come down and said, Howard, if you walk through that gate, you can't go back. But if you come through that gate, I'll have to judge you, and you will not receive not one single reward for what you did on earth. Now, this guy was a Baptist preacher. So he preached the Word of God for years, and the Lord told him, he's trying to tell him, as I have judged your work, there's none of them stood the test. Was anybody that's here today here when Howard Pittman was here? Okay, so you remember these stories? Then he said, Lord, I was a Baptist preacher. He says, I know what you did on earth. I was with you all the time. He said, you preached what the Baptists teach you, but you didn't teach what my word said. Now, that's kind of scary. And then he said, Lord, my wife and I believe it was 27, my wife and I have raised 27 foster children for you. He said, I have heard you gloat over that and said, you will not get a single reward for raising them 27 children because you didn't do it for me. You did it so you could gloat. Is that scary? I mean, so far his life is going before him. Just what this scripture is telling us, he's being judged for what he's supposed to be doing, and he wasn't doing it for Jesus. He was doing it for himself. Wow. You think that there may be some of us that fit that same criteria? Could very well be. Only God and you know, and you may not even know because he didn't know himself either. Let's go to the next verse, 14. Let's see what it says.
If any man's work abide, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Now, wait a minute. Now, when I say this, everybody in this room wants to see when they do die, and they're standing before the Lord. This is what you want to see, right?
Right.
Welcome home, son. Well done. Is that what we want to hear? That's what I want to hear. Lord, when I looked at those children, I every year I tell myself I'm not going to cry when I pray over those kids' dinner. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. I can't look at them kids and know where they come from. Know the hell they've been through. I can't look at those children and not cry. It's impossible. You know, I can stand up here and talk to you and pray over everything because most of you have not been through what those children went through. And I hope I never have to go through that. I don't want to go through that. I'm grateful. You know, in fact, when I went to Egypt to build that building, my wife and son come over there a couple of weeks later, after I got established. And the company, they found me a little house that belonged to a doctor. And we lived on the upstairs floor. Now, we had just a normal, nice little house here in Highland Village. But when we got over there, nearly everybody has no telephone. At the time I was in Egypt, there was 30,000 telephone lines in a city of 5 million. So you put yourself on a waiting list for 30 years to get a telephone. Now then, over here in America, we build a new home. How quick do we expect to get a phone?
Right away.
Same day. You go in and say, when can I get my phone hooked up? They say, well, if everything goes good by tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. What? What's going to take you so long? I need my phone right this minute. You can't imagine how those people live. In fact, as I was building that building over there, all the different things that we were having so much fun building, and I'm showing those guys how to put things together and build things, it just amazed me. Those guys, they couldn't pour concrete level or build a building square. They didn't know what that was. And so I guess I was kind of grumbling and complaining one day when Miss C.M. Roth came over. I said, you know, these people can't build anything. I said, I have to show them how to build everything. I said, they don't know how to do nothing. She said, Thurman, these people built the pyramids. I turned and looked at her and I said, ma'am, there were some people in this area of the world that built the pyramids, but these people didn't build the pyramids. I said, I went out to the pyramids, and I said, Ramses' pyramid is 13 acres at the base, and it's perfectly square and perfectly level and perfectly true north and south. I said, these guys here can't build a box square that's 2 foot by 2 foot and 1 foot high. I said, they can't get it level or square. So I said, you know, no, these people didn't build the pyramids. There might have been a master race of people, because I will have to say, by seeing what I got to see while I was over there, somebody very supernatural. Now, I almost have to believe that there was a group of people that probably had come from another planet, another galaxy or something, because when you see the pyramids and you see what they did, and then you go to the Luxor and to all the places up there, the quarries where they got the needles, those obelisks. And when you look at, when you stand as an engineer, you stand on top of a piece of red rose granite that's at least 4 foot square at the base and 30 foot long, and it's tapered and it has a needle point on it, and it's as slick as that right there on top of that thing, just slick as glass. We can't do that today. Now, if we can't do that today, how did they do that 5,000 years ago? How did they do that? Unbelievable. But they knew somebody that we don't know. And there's something to this world that's beyond what we normally know. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is very real, that he did create everything. But I've said for a long time, I can't put God in such a little tiny box to believe that he only built this earth with the people on this place and nobody else nowhere in the cosmos as big as the cosmos is. I don't believe that. I believe that he's got people in other galaxies and things. And there's some of those people, there's no telling what they've got, what they've built, and what they can do. But I do know on this earth that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as you begin to pray, now this is the access you have to this, when you learn to pray and you learn that these things are all yours and you can pray in faith for them, you can literally change the world with prayer. I mean, you can do that. I think it makes it easier when you can't see the people. Like Cheryl and I, we lay in bed a lot of times. We'll be in her office maybe until midnight or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or whatever. Then she was beginning to get eye strain or something. She said, honey, I can't make it no more. I got to go lay down. I said, okay, so let's go back to the bedroom. We'll lay out there, and she lays her computer up on her lap, and she reads to me and tells me what these problems are for these people, and I can't see these people. So not being able to see these people, but I can hear what their problems are, I can think, you know, I have the faith to pray for that to be changed. I can change it. Somebody calls and says, you know, my wife just left me, and, you know, she don't want nothing to do with me. I've tried everything. She said she was never coming back. And I said, well, you know, first of all, you know, the devil's one. I said, she's not saved, right? No, she's not saved. She doesn't know Jesus. I said, well, the devil's the one doing this. So I said, you know, we have been given all power and all authority over the devil. Now, if I can't see the circumstances, but I can read it in this book, I've come to the point where if it's written in this book, I can believe it. You see where I'm coming from? So when I pray and I say, Lord, I rebuke the enemy, command him to get his hands off of this person. And Lord, I ask you to move by the power of your spirit, remove the blinders on this person's eyes and open their eyes and let them see what they're doing is wrong and then bring them back home in Jesus' name. And then I can tell the guy, guarantee it'll happen. Jesus' name. He calls the next day or the next day or whatever and says, how do you have such a great faith? It happened just like you said. Why can't we have such great faith? You read this book. Just like the first time I told that story about that woman that had left her husband and everything, and that I prayed and rebuked the enemy, and I was on Daystar Television on the prayer line. And after I rebuked the enemy and commanded him to leave, I told the young man, I said, call me and let me know what happened. So the next Friday, he called back, and he said, within an hour after I prayed that prayer, his wife called back and said that her eyes, it was like blinders had been removed off of her eyes. And that she wanted him to come get her, and he did. And then they were remarried that week. And then whenever he said, things have been great in her house, when I said, well, how long had your wife been gone? He said, 14 years. I thought to myself, now then, I'm glad I didn't know that up front. Because you know what I'd have done? I'd have been like all the rest of us. I'd have said, you know, just throw her away and get you another one. Even God couldn't bring that woman back if she's been gone 14 years. But can he? Yes. Is it any more difficult for him to bring one back in 14 years and 14 hours? No, it's same difference with God. Makes absolutely no difference. And so as he's training us how to be overcomers, as we're trained and we do what he says, then if we pass his test, and if any man's work abide, we shall receive a reward. How would you like one day when the Lord, when you get to heaven, when he says, when you're standing in awe of who he is, I mean, you'd be like John, you'd be on your knees on your face saying, oh God, I thought I knew you, but Lord, I really didn't know you. And he says, because you did know me like you did, and the time you spent in my word and the prayers that you did, and the people that you saved and healed, I want to show you who those people are. And he says, look, see those people? Lord, that you mean that multitude? Yes, that multitude. Every one of those people saved, healed, or delivered because of your prayer. Is that what you want to hear? Amen. If we don't get out and do something, is that going to happen? No. You got to forget yourself. Get rid of yourself. You don't need this beast anyway. You need to be doing something for Jesus. You need to be taking time to pray for people. Every man's works will be tested. Every one. And if it passes the test, you will receive a reward. You will receive a reward. You know, it never ceases to amaze me the number of people that know these things that go to church. And they want, they believe. And you can ask most people. Try it sometime. So when you know when the scripture says that judgment day is coming and one day you're going to die and you're going to be judged and then you'll be able to get into the kingdom of heaven, do you really think you're going to get any rewards when you get home? And see what they say. So many people say, oh yeah, sure, I know I'm going to get some rewards. Well, what makes you think you're going to get a reward? Oh, because I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Well, what'd you do after that? Well, I didn't have to do nothing after that. I just got saved, so I'm okay. No, that's not what the scripture teaches, is it? This says you're supposed to have some works. You're supposed to have some awesome works. I mean, wow. If any man's works, if they abide in you, you shall receive a reward. Next verse. Let's go to next verse 15.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Think about Howard Pittman, a Baptist preacher, had done all the things he had done, thinking he's going to get a tremendous reward. and he's not getting not one single reward. You know, whenever he was here and he said that, I thought, Lord, I need to do more. I need to talk to people about Jesus more. And so, as Cheryl knows, as we go places, I don't care where we go, out of town, I don't care if I know the people, never seen them before, who they are, red, white, yellow, black, it makes no difference who they are. My first question, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You know, and just like that restaurant, some of y'all heard me tell that story up there in Kansas City, whenever that Muslim guy or Indian guy or whatever he was, I don't know what kind of religion he was, but I'm just asking the guy that's waiting on us, are you a born-again Christian? I'm talking loud enough that he can hear me in a restaurant. It's always noisy. And he said, no, but my grandfather is. And I said, well, you know, it don't do no good for your grandfather. I said, there ain't going to be no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. You got to make Jesus Lord of your life yourself. When some guy started hollering, who's talking about Jesus in this place? You know you can't talk about Jesus in a public place. Man, I'm telling you, if you had been there that day and seen what I did, I jumped up out of my chair and I ran down there and jumped across the pew and grabbed him by the shoulders and shook him and commanded that devil of hell that's blinding his mind to come out of him. I did that in a restaurant.
Yep, you did.
But the guy got saved. After I kicked that devil out of him and then asked the Lord to convict him of sin, I said, now how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? And he said, I'd love it. And the guy got saved. Just think, what does the Lord say that every time a soul comes into the kingdom, what do the angels do?
Rejoice.
They rejoice. I can't help but believe that if the angels are rejoicing, Jesus must be rejoicing too. So every soul, and I think about some ministries, I think about, just like the other night I was watching Reinhard Bonnke on TBN as he's handing his scepter down to a younger man. He's 77. And he's going to hand it down to a younger man. And they showed pictures of the places he had went and the millions. I mean, people would walk for days to get to one of his crusades because they knew Jesus was going to be there and he would show up to heal and save the lost. And some of those meetings that I saw on that screen the other night, there was in excess of 2 million people in one meeting. 2 million. I just stand in awe. Men like that, you know, who knows what kind of... Just think. I can remember years ago when I was a member at Lakeland Baptist Church, when if you had asked me, how many people have you led to Jesus, Thurman? None. We're supposed to do that at church. The pastor does that. No, that's not the pastor's job. It is his job, but it's your job too. You're supposed to be about this too. And I got to thinking, gee, I have never led anybody to Christ. And in fact, I remember that day, the pastor, he's the one that asked that question. And I guess he had come under conviction, so he took a piece of paper and he said, I want you to pass these out to everybody. And I want you to write down on there, Lord, in the next year, I will do my best to lead X number of people to Christ. I ain't never led one, not one. Not one soul have I ever won into the kingdom of God. Not one soul have I ever healed. I hadn't gotten one single person healed. I had no knowledge of praying in faith for people's healing. I had no works to be produced. I mean, if Jesus had to come and check my record, man, it wouldn't have been much to work with. So anyway, I took that piece of paper and I said, Lord, if you will help me, I will do the best I know how and the best I can. If you will help me, I know I can't do this on my own. But I'll do the best I can to lead. And then that blank spot there. I said, Lord, I need a number. And I wrote down 10. I will do the best I can in the next year to win 10 souls into the kingdom of God. Then I looked at that and I thought, my God, I've lost my mind. Here I am, been a Christian all these years, and how many have I led to Christ? None. Not a single soul. And now then, I've just made a commitment with God that in the next year, if He'll help me, I'll do the best I can to lead 10 people into the kingdom of God. And after that year, guess how many people me and him led into the kingdom that year? 10. Exactly what I wrote down. I said, Lord, if I can put down on a sheet of paper that I'll do the best I can if you'll help me to lead 10 people into the kingdom of God, and if we lead those 10 in there, the problem's got to be with me and not you. I know you want all souls to be saved. Isn't that what he said? He wants everybody to be saved. He don't want nobody to go to hell. He wants them all to come into the kingdom of God. So after that year, I said, Lord, this year I'm going to put a different number in there. In fact, I'm going to say in my heart that if you will help me, I will make myself available 365 days a year. I don't care where I am or who I'm talking to. Anybody you want to bring into the kingdom, just use me. I will be available. So, Lord, use me for your glory. I'm available. And since that time, I don't keep numbers anymore, but I have no idea how many people I've had the privilege to lead into the kingdom. But I will say that you and me are in the same boat. The day is coming when we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Is that true? He's telling us that right here. If any man's work be burned up, he shall suffer loss. Can you imagine? What if I had died way back yonder when I had never led anybody into the kingdom, never gotten anybody healed, never had any good works, hadn't done anything except Jesus as my Lord and Savior? And I'd have died in that. He wouldn't have had much to work with, would he? Isn't that a sad thing? Of course, the beautiful part about it, I'd get to go to heaven. But here's what gets me when I stop and think about looking at the King of Kings. And he's standing there and he's sitting there saying, come on, son. I said, Lord, I don't have anything for you. That's okay. But Lord, you died on the cross for me. I mean, you got holes in your hands and feet. I can still see them. You did all that for me. And then you told me, I know in your word, you told me to do things for the kingdom of God. You told me to go out and talk to the lost. You told me to go out and heal the sick. You told me to go out and build buildings for your kingdom. But Lord, I've not done it. I don't want to be that man. Do you? I want to be about his business and do what he says. In other words, I don't want to just be a churchgoer that just comes to church on Sunday and then just goes home and does my own thing and say, oh, I don't need to do anything else. No, there's plenty of things we need to be doing so we can produce fruit and produce our works. And I think about these children. When I think about those poor kids, I Cheryl may have to correct me here on this. I'm not sure, but I think I'm right. To be a child that's in that orphan's home, you have to come out of a battered and bruised family. Isn't that right?
They said 90% of the children are sexually molested, 70% are completely neglected and abandoned. And, yeah, he said every single one of them has suffered some tremendous trauma.
Now then, if those children have to go through all that hell to get into a place where they can be comfortable and they can be kept and they can be warm and they can have something to eat, and all we got to do is give money to help them. And did you know there's some people, just like Cheryl, she had no idea that year that I stood up. I had no idea what God was going to do 16 years ago. And I said, you know, Christmas is about children. I said, don't go out and take a bunch of money that you worked hard for to buy something for somebody that don't want it, that's not going to like it or it's not going to fit or they're going to take it back after Christmas and they ain't going to like it anyway. I said, buy something for children. I said, my wife and I used to go to the orphan's home down in South Dallas, in Buckner's, and we'd take one or two of those kids that needed clothes for school, and we'd take them to a store somewhere, and we would buy them clothes for at least a couple, two or three changes of clothes. And we would do that for those kids. I said, so, you know, I don't know what you might want to do, But I said, do something to benefit children that are in need. So God, boy, I mean, he just hit Cheryl right to the heart. Now, he provided the orphan's home, provided the card and everything. And 16 years later, you people and her, all of us together, have had a tremendous blessing of helping these children. And we've been doing this now for 16 years.
And we broke a million this year, too.
What, honey?
We broke a million this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and we broke $1 million. Just think, all those kids, all that equipment, all the things that they've needed, everything that's been bought for them, for school, for college, for all kinds of things, and you people did it. Isn't that amazing? And you know who will have a perfect record of that one day?
Jesus.
He'll know every one you helped. Go to the next verse.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
I think we fail to remember that. We are sons of God. We are daughters of God. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. We are His body on this earth, and we are to be producing fruit for His kingdom. So after He tells us to produce this fruit and do things for the kingdom, He reminds you who you are. You're not just a nobody. You're not just an anybody. You're a child of God. Wow, let's go to the next verse and see what He says next verse.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
When He puts that consequence in there, it makes it a little more inspiring to get out and do something and to not defile your temple. Because if you're out drugging, drinking, doing the stupid things of the world, and you are a Christian, He's not going to put up with that forever. According to this scripture, He can take you out early. I don't know about you, but if there's anything, I surely do not want to go home without some rewards, but I sure don't want to go home as a druggie or a drunk. Do you?
No.
Can you imagine, you just done something stupid, you know, and God had to take you home, and you get in heaven, and somebody says, well, what were you doing before you came home? Oh, Lord. Can you imagine that? Let's see what the next verse says. 18. Yeah, there you go.
Let no man deceive himself. If a man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise.
That's the whole thing. People think that helping people and doing things and giving your money to help other people is not what you're supposed to do. And there's all kinds of people out there will tell you, you don't need to be doing good things for people. When I read that article, or actually Cheryl read it to me last night about those guys in Dallas. I don't know, the city council, I guess, makes those rules. I don't understand how a city council with men and women could write or make a law that is illegal to help the poor and the needy in your city. That you got to have permits and you got to pay for those permits. And some of them said, you know, it might not be so bad if you just had to go down and get a permit, but said you have to pay for every permit, and every time they charge you for the ones behind, he said, it's nuts. And so he said, we just decided we're going to help the poor and the needy. So we go home and get our AR-15s and get the food and the box and the stuff and come back. And it had pictures of them showing they're feeding these people, handing out clothes, and guys standing around with their machine guns. The police don't do nothing. Praise God. I thought, well, we got some good police. Isn't that amazing? Wow. I just can't believe that I can't believe we do this. I just can't believe that mankind can do this. Next verse, verse 19.
For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness.
Yes, He does. Verse 20.
And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain.
Okay, He does. Next verse.
Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
Now, wait a minute. Let no man glory in men for what? Is that a mouthful? For all things are ours?
Yep.
He's talking to the sons of God, is he not? Okay, wow, let's see what the next verse says. Whether you're Paul or... Go ahead, honey.
Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours.
Now, wait a minute. We don't believe that. In fact, I'll tell you a story that I told several years ago about a bull that I had down here in the pasture. And Tim and I, he's right out of high school, and he's a big old healthy boy. He's still a big old healthy boy, but we could not get that bull out of that pen, out of that pasture. We done everything we could, and there was no way he's going to get that bull out of there. Tim finally said, "Dad, we're going to have some help. We're going to have to go get a couple of horses and a couple more guys. We're never going to get this big old bull out of here by ourselves." And I said, "Well, son, when I think of this scripture, what is it that belongs to me? Virtually everything." That's what he's saying. All things are yours. So I just turned and said, "Father, do you not believe that your Heavenly Father is right there? Father, in the name of Jesus, I need you to send me an angel." I said, "Angel, now see, I got to believe when I ask him, he's going to do it, because I said, the angels hearken to the word of God." And so when I asked, and I said, "Angel, I want you to grab that bull. I want you to pick his head up and lead him right out of that herd of cows. Lead him right over to that fence right yonder, and lead him down that fence until I got a gate open way down yonder in the corner." I said, "Lead him into that other pasture. I'll go down there and close the gate." I said, "Thank you, Lord." I said, "Thank you, Father." I said, "Come on, son, let's get him." He said, "What do you mean, Dad?" I said, "Son, come on, don't ask me no question, just help me." So we started to walk, and as we got approached that bull's head went up just like that, like an angel reached down and grabbed him by the neck and just lifted his head up. And he held his head up, and he walked right out of that herd of cows, walked right over against the fence, walked all the way down there, walked, never did even look back. Wow. And as we was walking along there, Tim said, "Dad, this is another one of your wild stories. That if I hadn't been here to see this, I wouldn't have believed it." Well, see, now that's what's wrong, because according to 1 Corinthians 3, what belongs to us? Everything. I mean, he literally says the world is yours, life is yours, death is yours, things present, the things to come, all are yours. What does that leave out?
Nothing.
That's nothing. So anyway, I was talking to Kim and Scott this last week, and she said, "Pastor, you remember the story you told about the bull?" And I said, "Yes, I do." She says, "Me and the kids were out here, and I think it's somebody where they were, or their neighbor or something, has got some Arabian horses, and they're trying to get that one of them horses in the trailer. And that horse ain't going. I mean, he got a mind of his own. He ain't going in that trailer." So Kim says, "You know, Pastor, y'all kids, y'all remember Pastor prayed for that bull?" She says, "Those people won't know, but let's, you and me, let's pray." So they took the experience that heard me talk about with the angel. They prayed the prayer of faith and asked the Lord to send an angel over there and take that horse right up in that trailer and let him load easy and nobody get hurt or nothing and everything. And they said, "Thank you, Lord, it's done." Now then, as soon as she said, "Thank you, Lord, it's done," that horse just stepped up in that trailer and walked right in. Now then, what if she didn't know that? You can't go beyond knowledge. But when you realize that angels are here for us, and they're here and they hearken to the word of God, when we say something in his name, in the name of Jesus, the angels are listening. Now, most angels, I believe with all my heart, most angels, when we get there, they're going to say, "Gee, you didn't keep me very busy." You believe that, Gracie? We don't call on them enough, do we? No, we really do not. I mean, they are sent as ministers for us, those of us that will accept and inherit salvation. That's every one of us in this room that know Jesus Christ. You have angels given to your charge, and all you got to do to get them to do something is ask the Father in the name of Jesus to have an angel come and do something, and he will send them. And many times I've had angels come help me do something. You know, if we only knew what we could do in the name of Jesus, because think about that one more time, whether you happen to be Paul or Apollos, in other words, or Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. If you really believe that, could you change the world? Sure, you could change the world. So you could take a family that's having all kinds of problems. A wife that won't come home, or a father that won't come home. And you can take these word of God, you get on God's doorstep and say, Lord, send me an angel. Angel, I want you to go talk to my Holy Spirit. I want you to go and minister to my wife or my husband, soften her heart. In fact, Cheryl, I'll tell you, I knew she's going to laugh. But anyway, she said something about getting one of the couples, or one of the people, the ladies that live out here, wants a puppy. No more puppies. That's it. I'm out of puppies. No more puppies. But she said, honey, she wants it at her house, not here. I said, okay, but I thought, first of all, no puppies. So anyway, I went to my office, and of course, I know what she's doing. She's praying. Lord, soften my husband's heart, make him more like Jesus so she can have a puppy. In probably 10 or 15 minutes, I called her. I went back up to her office and I said, okay, you can call the girl and tell her they can have a puppy. So when she called her and she said, my goodness, I can't believe you've already got an answer. But when Cheryl prays and asks the Lord to soften my heart, what does he do? He softens my heart. Do we have power and authority and dominion? Did he just tell us that some things belong to us? The only thing I got to say, if you don't want these kind of things to happen in your house, don't teach your family how to use them. Because they work. They work. They really do work. All things, whether you put your name in it, or you put Paul and Apollos, or Peter, or the world, or life, or death, this pretty well covers everything, doesn't it? Life or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Those things belong to you. If you believe that, you can change the world. You can change everybody around you for the good. You can do what I did to that Indian guy or Muslim guy or whatever he was in Kansas City. You know, to think about running up to a man that you've never seen in a restaurant that's got people all over the place. To run up, to jump up when a guy says, nobody can talk about Jesus in a public place. And to jump up and say, who said that? First of all, you know, most Christians, if somebody said that, say, oh, don't offend that guy. Well, I'm planning to offend that guy. So anyway, when I jumped up and when he said, I did, man, I mean, I ran back there like a bullet. And I run up to that booth. I jumped over that booth, grabbed that guy by the shoulder, pulled him right up against the edge of that booth, and commanded, I said, come out of him, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. Then I said, now, Father, convict this man of sin, John 6:44, and drag him into the kingdom of God, convict him of sin and draw him into the kingdom, and I claim this man's spirit, soul, and body for you and service under your kingdom forever, right now in Jesus' name. And I said, now, sir, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? And he said, I'd love it. You got to be led by the Spirit, and the Spirit's got to be driving you to do these kind of things. One more verse.
And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's.
And we are Christ. Is that a mouthful? Is that what that said, Mary? We and you are Christ, and Christ is God. I mean, gee, this thing's rigged. You can't lose. I mean, he gave you everything. He told you you're a son of God, you're a joint heir with Christ, and all these things are yours, and all this power and authority is yours, and the world is yours, life is yours, death is yours, everything's yours. And by the way, just so you know, you're God. You're God on this earth. I live in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So where does he live? Right here in you and me. If you take these verses, if you'll take those two verses and go home and meditate on those and just let that soak into you who you really are, I believe that will change your authority. It'll change your boldness. It'll change the way you do business. I can't think of that little Chinese lady's name, Nora Lam, I think, that they told her she had to quit talking about Jesus in China. She says, no, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Nobody can stop me. That guy said, we'll stop you. We'll put you before a firing squad. We'll put 10 soldiers out there. We're going to everyone point at your head, and we're going to blow your head completely off. She said, I will talk about Jesus forever. And they put her out there. And anybody ever seen this movie about her? What happened when them 10 men shot? Not one single one hit her. Not one. Did it take some faith on that woman's part? But she stood her ground. I'm telling you what, that woman should have some rewards when she gets home. after everything she done. But just, I want you to meditate this week on what is rightfully yours out of 1 Corinthians 3, the last two verses. I want you to read that. I want you to just meditate on that. Who I am. I remember one of the men here in this church that when he learned who he was in Christ, I think it was about, I don't know whether it was one of his own children or an employee that he worked with or something, but I think they were having trouble having a child or something. And he just walked up to him and told him, said, you know, you need to let a man that believes pray for you. And said, that man's me. Now that takes boldness. You know it? It takes boldness. But if knowing that everything we talked about in this chapter belongs to you, everything, life is yours, death is yours, everything belongs to you. What should we be able to do with that, Tony? Anything. You're absolutely right, son. We should be able to take that and say, I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Nothing's impossible with me. Everything's mine. So whenever somebody needs somebody to pray for them or whatever, you need to pray for them in faith. You need to start, maybe you and your wife need to lay down in the bed at night and start getting a list of people and start praying for people. And I'm here to believe that if you'll sit down in your internet and you will find somebody to pray for, and you will pray over them, and then send that email back. Say, if you know anybody that needs prayer, have them contact me. You'll be just like me and Cheryl. It won't be long till you'll have so many prayer requests every night you can't hardly get around to all of them. But when God starts answering the prayer, you know why those people call us? Because after we pray and they get healed, guess who they go tell? Everybody. That's right. Their mother, their dad, their loved ones. Wow. I called Thurman and Cheryl and the Living Savior Ministries and they prayed for me and my wife came home or whatever. Or my sister got healed or breast cancer got healed or whatever. We see a multitude of answers to prayer over the internet. Somebody said, well, I've never had an answer to prayer. I've been there. When I was over at Lakeland Baptist Church, I didn't know how to pray. And if you'd have said, how many people have you got saved? Like I told you a while ago, I had none. I had never prayed for a person who got somebody saved or healed. I did not know how to pray. But that's not the case anymore. Praise the Lord. Lord, help me to change. Help me to have... In fact, I'll just say, I want to be a glutton about this whole thing. I found 5 crowns in the Word of God. And when I go home, I want all 5 of those crowns. You know why I want all 5 of them? Because He says that I'm going to... That whatever works I obtain, whatever gifts I get, I'm going to lay them at His feet because only He's worthy to wear my crowns. Amen. Now then, does that make you want to have something to lay at His feet? Amen. Lord, I want to do things and I want to see things happen. I want You to be glorified. I want to lay my crowns at Your feet. I would like to have so many crowns, so many things that You couldn't even see over the stack. Isn't that what we should want? Lord, and He says, why did You do this, son? I said, Lord, what You did for me. I was going to hell without You. I didn't know You. I didn't know nothing. I was sick and afflicted. I didn't know I could be healed. I didn't know I could be made whole. But after what You did on the cross, all that became mine. And I found in the Word that I could stand on Your promises and they would work. And so I just decided I wanted to see great and mighty things. So I just been about Your business ever since. And then the King may say, well done. Is that what we want to hear Him say? Definitely. So, but is it going to take some effort to get there? It's going to take some effort to get there. It ain't going to happen just accidentally. It ain't going to happen accidentally. You're going to have to get in there and do something great for the kingdom of God. And when you do, He will say, well done, son or daughter. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You and praise You for this beautiful, gorgeous, glorious day. I thank You for this season where we help all these children. You help all these children. I thank You that You move on people's heart to get them to move, to give, to bless these children. Lord, I thank You for those children. I'm so grateful for all the men and women that work over there at Christ Haven and how they help and minister to those kids. And I'm so grateful for all of them. Lord, thank You for blessing those children. Thank You for blessing the men and women that are there. And then, Lord, thank You for moving on our hearts that we might be about Your business this week, that we would do something with all these promises You've made us in 1 Corinthians 3, that all these promises as sons and daughters of God, we will be so greatly blessed and moved by Your promises that we will get out and do something great for the kingdom of God and that we will just bless people in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You. for what you do. Thank you for being our healer, our deliverer, our provider, everything. In Jesus' name, amen.